Welcome to day three of the Altar in the Valley experience. At this point, mile three of the hike, it's still dark, cold, and we haven't been able to see the beauty that's surrounding us yet. We can't see the progress we've made, and we can't see where we're going. But we're close to that moment where the sun is going to peek above the horizon and light up the canyon walls all around us. As you begin your walk, I encourage you to take a deep breath and open up your heart to all that God wants to speak to you today. As we'll do a lot throughout this experience, let's take some time to focus on the things in our life that we're thankful for. There's a Hebrew word for praise, todah, that is found all throughout the Psalms, and it's a word for giving thanks. But it doesn't just mean giving thanks for the things we already have, it also means to give thanks for what God will give and do in the future. It's a word of expectation for the things not yet seen. Kind of like how we can't see the beauty around us on this mile marker, but we know it's coming. A.W. Tozer once said, "Perhaps it takes a purer faith to praise God for unrealized blessings than for those we once enjoyed or those we enjoy now." Let's take 45 seconds with some instrumental music to thank God for the things He's already given us. But also take some of that time to thank God for what He is going to do today and in the days to come.
Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you've given us. And we also thank you for what you are going to do throughout the rest of this experience. We listen with expectation and excitement for what you will speak today. Amen. I get to introduce you to our speaker for today, Cyrus Madbondo. Cyrus is currently serving as the Church Relations Representative for World Help, a Christian humanitarian organization that exists to serve the physical and spiritual needs of people in impoverished communities around the world. He pastored in the Washington, D.C. area for the last 5 years, and for 10 years before that, Cyrus served at World Help, strengthening national ministries and leading mission trips as Vice President and Africa Chief Strategist. He has shared the gospel across Africa, Central Asia, Southeast Asia, Central America, and Western Europe. He currently resides in Virginia with his wife of 33 years named Julie. His story is a tragic yet powerful testimony of the grace and faithfulness of God in the midst of pain. We had an amazing experience to get to spend 2 weeks in Uganda, Africa with Cyrus, just seeing his heart for people, his love for God, and the difference he's making in the world. I can't wait for you to hear from him. Take a listen.
My name is Cyrus Madbondo. I was born in the Central African Republic, and I've been living here in the United States for the last 30 years. I've been married to my wife, Julie, for 34 years. I am honored to contribute to what Altar in the Valley is trying to accomplish. But I also wanted to make a point here is that I am not qualified as an expert to discuss anything having to do with the Valley per se, but on the human level, that which I'm about to share with you is what we share all in common, which is that none of us is immune from trials, challenges of any kind. And I'll explain a bit as we go through what I'm talking about. It was Tuesday, September 2nd, 2008. I came back from work. My youngest daughter, I'm the father of three children, two daughters, and of course, one son. Our youngest daughter knocked on the door of the car asking permission of me to go swim. I was excited about this, let her go, give her permission, and not even an hour later, our daughter drowned from a swimming pool accident. Had it not been for my faith, I would have lost my mind. I began to wonder, what do you do when you're doing the right thing and then life happens and hands you such a heartbreaking reality to deal with? I want to pause and say the following. Whether you are a princess or whether you're a pauper, you cannot escape the reality of life. I travel a lot by plane to go to different places because of my job with our ministry. And I've noticed that every time I get on an airplane, the entire flight crew, it doesn't matter whether you're in first class or you're in a comfort seat or you're on the back seat, they treat every moment on board of that plane as if everything that is happening matters seriously. They even tell you when they begin to show that video about security that turbulence, something they call rough air, is not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And it causes the entire flight crew to behave and treat everything on board with that seriousness. So I am using this analogy of being on an airplane to share the fact that all of us actually are sitting on an airplane like life. Turbulence or trial is not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. We use the analogy of the valley. And any moment you find yourself in the valley, if you don't have an anchor that will hold you through that challenge, you may find yourself in a very difficult circumstance. I did not like to have to bury my youngest daughter, but who else can take away this pain? Who else is going to see me through that challenge except my faith? So this is why, as you are walking, listening to this brief devotion that I'm sharing with you, my prayer is that you treat the valley challenges you're facing right now as an altar to offer to God your cry, your pain, but also at the same time, simultaneously, worship Him. He has done it for many people. Honestly, I'm not the first, nor will I be the last to bury my child. The biblical data, the Bible is replete with stories of fathers who have faced the challenge of having to outlive their children. Job is a godly father that has inspired me on how do I establish an altar in a valley of a difficult circumstance. Job was not a crook. He's a godly man. One day he was minding his business. 10 children were killed, all of them, 7 sons and 3 daughters. When he was presented that news, he tore off his clothes, obviously, to express his grief. But then the Bible tells us that he worshiped God. He is the father that said those words, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So that's why you hear that song that says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name." Those words came out of the mouth of Job, a father who chose to have an altar in the valley of life. And later Job in Job 13:15 said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." My prayer for all of you who are listening to my testimony today is that you trust God in your pain. Yes, knee knocking. Yes, crying. Yes, in pain. But He is worthy to be praised. Here is why the anchor of the Bible has seen me through the death of my youngest daughter. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was here on earth, as He was concluding the Sermon on the Mount, He spoke those words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He said, "Everyone who listens to these teachings of mine and obeys them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because its foundation was built on a rock." But then he goes on to say, "Everyone who does not listen to these teachings of mine is likened to a fool who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and the house fell, and great was its fall." Isn't that interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is acknowledging that you can build your house on a rock and life is still not going to avoid you? The wind, the flood will beat on that house. But the house that did not fall was because it was anchored. It was built on the rock, hence that old hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." At the funeral of my daughter, our worship pastor here at the church in Virginia where I attend, he sung the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," over my family at that funeral service. And I want to tell you something that I did after he sang that song. I researched the history of that old hymn that we saw here, "It Is Well With My Soul." I came to find out that Horatio Spafford is an accomplished lawyer who was living in Chicago. In 1870, his four-year-old son that he named Horatio Jr. died of scarlet fever. In 1871, massive fire has burned so many homes in Chicago. It is said that more than 300 people died, over 100,000 people have lost their homes and became homeless. And Horatio was not only a lawyer, he was also into real estate investment. So many of his investments actually were destroyed. 2 years later, Horatio decided to send his wife Anna with their four daughters to Europe on vacation. Well, he had to stay back because he had some personal business dealings he needed to take care of. And so his wife had gone on to Europe. On the way to Europe, on the boat on the Atlantic Ocean, there was an accident with that boat. 224 people drowned, including the four daughters for Horatio and his wife Anna. What a tragedy. Well, the wife got to England, sent a telegram to Horatio, and the first word in the telegram, I even found a copy of that telegram and I read it, and boy, what a chilling experience. She simply said, "Saved alone." When Horatio found out that the four daughters had died and his wife is left alone, he decided to follow her to Europe and just be with his wife. Well, before he got to England on the boat, the captain of the boat told him, because he had the coordinates of where the accident with the boat happened, he pointed to him. He said, "This is where your four children died with those other 200 plus people." Horatio went back to his cabin and he wrote those words of that old hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," because he knew under the boat he was in, 3 miles deep, the bodies of the four daughters floating somewhere. But he is the guy that says, "I would choose to worship God."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well.
Dear friends, brothers and sisters, my prayer for you is that you appropriate the reality like the flight attendants are doing with us when we get on an airplane. That life is not a playground, it's a battleground. Being on an airplane, turbulence is not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. You now have to make a decision on how do you appropriate that reality. Take your pain to the Lord. So in the valley, create this altar. I am submitting to you that although life is messy, I have made my decision to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. May it be your commitment as well that Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship in the valley of the pain, whether it's cancer, whether it's the death of a loved one, divorce, or whatever miscarriage, painful circumstance you may be going through. In conclusion, I would like to recite Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. It says, "Therefore God the Father has also highly exalted him and has given him the name that is above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." So dear brothers and sisters, I can bury a child, Jesus is worthy. If my mother had passed away back in March of 2020, Jesus is worthy. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will see you through. Because if he didn't, I would have lost my mind. And I wouldn't be able to share this testimony with you.
Wow, that was amazing.
Yeah, unbelievable. What a story. I've never heard that story before about the song, It Is Well. Thank you, Cyrus, man. How incredible and inspiring to hear it said that way with your story and how that relates.
Yeah, that was such a powerful testimony. And I know it can sometimes be hard to just move on too quickly after a moment like that. So we want to give you space to continue your walk if you want to. As I mentioned before, we have included an extra instrumental track on every one of these days if you'd like to put that on and continue to reflect and pray. We hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow for day 4 of the Altar in the Valley experience.